Thank you, Brother Ray. Jimmy, how's Keith Brown? Any schedule for any surgery? Okay. All right. That's 70 tonight. Can you all imagine sick and everybody sick in it? That's a good number, I tell you. There's a lot of sickness that we have in 70 attendance. Like I say, our youth and our kids, they were doing a real good job. And a lot of them, it does a lot to get people out. So we appreciate it. Be praying for those and go by and visit and invite somebody next week that we might have a bigger and a greater time on our Wednesday night. Thank you very much. Tonight we're going to be talking about lessons from the Master. I wonder who the Master is. That's the Master talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21 tonight. I just thank the Lord for having time to study the Word of God, mostly all day long today. It's just a blessing to sit down with the Bible and to study the Bible for several hours. I thank the Lord that I have time to do that now. How He's blessed me. Such a great, great book that we have called the Bible, because it's God's Word. And we thank the Lord so much about it. But Jesus Christ, as a lesson from the Master, Jesus Christ is our greatest example, not just in soul winning, what I'm going to be speaking on tonight, but He's our example in everything of our life, soul winning especially. And I just want to talk a little bit about that great soul winner, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, Matthew's quoting from Isaiah. Matthew is quoting from Isaiah, and these are the words that Isaiah penned many hundred years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. We know that Jesus, that was not the beginning of Jesus Christ, just where His humanity was born in Bethlehem. But Matthew is really telling us about Jesus Christ. But Isaiah, as you know, all Old Testament prophets was telling us examples and also a typology of Jesus Christ, what to look for. The prophet was telling the people of the Jews at that time they should have known who Jesus Christ was because of all the examples that all the Old Testament prophets had given them. They should have recognized Jesus Christ because there was nobody like Jesus Christ. Never, nobody spoke like Jesus Christ ever spoke. Nobody done the healing. Nobody done the work that Jesus Christ done. They had no doubt that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. But this is one of the sweetest passages, I guess, in the Scriptures. It's quoted from the Old Testament at Isaiah. I said 100 years before Jesus Christ came to earth. It says, look for Him. And Isaiah give us some examples and give us some really illustrations for us to look for of Jesus Christ. And when He came here on this earth, He was a great soul winner. And you can see that in everything He done. He came to win souls. He came to save souls. I'm afraid we have lost the sight a lot of times of the main business, and I do a lot of times. And our main business and our church main business is soul winning, and we have lost sight of that so many times. But Isaiah prophesied in the name of Jesus Christ. He says He's coming, and He's coming, and here's what to look for. And here's some several examples and application in these verses of Scripture here, 18, 19, 20, and 21 from Isaiah that Matthew has quoted so good. And we just thank the Lord for the Word of God and how we can depend on the Word of God. How He described the coming of Jesus Christ, described His ministry and His method, and what to look for. So it says here in verse 18 of chapter 12 of Matthew, behold my servant. That means Isaiah was saying, now you look. This is God speaking, God's Word. He says, now behold, I want you to look. Look for this servant, my servant. Look for him. Behold, whom I have chose. God chose Jesus Christ. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, nor a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray again. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the living Word of God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for all the blessing that you bless us with today. How exciting it is to come, Lord, together in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, we can just lay our burdens down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And how we thank you, Lord, for that you loved us so much and you was willing to go to that old cross and die that we might have this life here this day, this hour, this night. more abundantly. And Father, when we leave this place, that you've prepared a place for us, and Lord, that we have life eternity. We thank you, Lord, for that late message, oh God, that you tell us that we need to be soul winners, oh God. And we pray, God, that we might be the people that you have really called us to be. And we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we have on this side of eternity. Father, carry your word, Lord, through this lost and dying world, that we might witness to people along our life journey. God, we just ask you, Lord, to forgive us when, Lord, we have not done this. Lord, forgive me especially. Father, we just pray, God, you might put somebody, Lord, in our path this coming week that we might be able to share Jesus Christ and be more concerned about those, Lord, who do not have this abundance of life and this excitement, knowing that, Lord, this is just a place, Lord, that we're going to be here temporarily, Lord, and after a while that we're going to be with you, Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you here this night for all the great blessings you've blessed us with this day, and all those on our prayer list and so many in our prayer box are named, God. We have so many, God, and those who are grown cold and indifferent, we pray for them, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this night to study a portion of your word. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah says, I want you to look now. And through the life of Jesus Christ, as Isaiah had described here, mentioned here by Matthew, he says, I want you to look for these applications for our life in Jesus Christ. And I found several of these applications, really illustration that shows what our life really ought to be. They six of them. As Isaiah give us this, really this revelation to see Jesus Christ, and even today in our life today, in Pleasant Hill, do we really see Jesus Christ in our life? And do you see Jesus Christ in each of our life today? Because it says there in verse 18 again, behold my servant, Jesus Christ, among all the people of the world, God says, behold my servant. I want you to look. Now notice that he has a commission, that God the Father give Jesus Christ a commission. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. That's God speaking through Isaiah's pen and through also Matthew's pen as he penned it with their hands. The servant whom I have chosen. God chose the Son. God the Father chose God the Son for a special task. Did y'all do know that? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners, which I am chief, as old Paul says, and I believe I am too. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which are lost. And I was in that number, and you was in that number, a special task. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. Amen. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for coming to this world to save sinners, and especially for saving me. Jesus Christ was a servant of Jehovah. He was a servant of God. His task was to serve, be a servant to the people. To himself in this service, he was what God called, and he done exactly what God told him to do. Jesus Christ, you know what, is our task today. And that's to tell people about Jesus Christ. That is a soul winner. What is soul winning? Lord, I think we forgot about what soul winning is. And I tell you, evangelism. What is evangelism? What is soul winning? What is our main business for God allowing us to be here on this side of eternity, to be here in such a beautiful church that God has blessed us with, to be here on a Wednesday night, Sunday morning? What is the task that God has called us to lay down our burdens and also look to the burdens of a God? But here is our task. Here's what soul winning is. It's really the heartbeat. It's the sob of God the Father. It's what it really is all about, soul winner evangelism, is for each and every one of us. It's a sob of God, God the Father, but also it's the cry of Jesus Christ. When you know what, he looked over upon the city when he walking down that valley and he saw Jerusalem, you know what? He said that was a doomed city, and he began to weep and to cry over that city, old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and he began to weep over it. So he weeps over a city, a doomed city of people that he loved. Pleasant Hill today. Paul said, I wish myself a curse from Christ for my brother's sake. Paul said, you know what, if it's possible, I'd be a curse myself because I love my brother and the Jews at what he's talking about. And old Moses, think about what old Moses, he says, forgive their sins, and if not, blot me out of the book which thou hast written. That was a sob of Moses because he knew the people had sinned, and he wanted God to forgive their sin. But also maybe it's a sob, but get a little closer to us. Maybe it's a sob of a mother and a father maybe that's weeping over their lost child. and know that they're not saved, and weeping over them is all your children and all your grandkids, and all of them reach the age of accountability, and all your kids and all your family, are they saved today? If not, I know this sob could be for you. What is the secret of a great church? Is Pleasant Hill the great church that, you know, that God would expect it to be? God has given us everything that we need to be a great church. But what is a great church? What is it is? What is it makes a church great anyway? What makes a great Christian? What makes you great tonight? I'm going to tell you, are you a soul winner? Do you tell people about Jesus Christ when you get an opportunity? R.A. Tozer, he said, what right a person have a person to be a call a follower of Jesus Christ if they're not soul winners? What right do you have? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Oh, Tozer said, what right do you have to call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not a soul winner? Because Jesus Christ says, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. That is correct. Fishermen's men. And then he says, if we're not fishing, we're not following. Andrew Murray, he said there are two classes of Christians. One of the soul winners and backsliders. John Wesley, you know, the founder of the Wesley Church, the Methodist Church. We have one business, he said, that is salvation of souls. I believe it was David Briner. He was a missionary to North American Indians, and he just gave his whole life to be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. He said, I don't care. He said, how I live or what hardship that I might go through, that I might gain some souls. Have you said that? I don't care what hardship I go through as long as I can win souls for Jesus Christ. That's something, I tell you, I'm a long way from that. But here, just compare that to our church today, to our lives today, and see if we measure up to what God has called us to be. The early Christian, you know what, done so much for so little. You know what, we have so much and we do so little. John, in the Gospel 15 and 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God says, I've chosen you and I've ordained you and I've sent you out that you might have fruit. Fruit of a Christian, what's the fruit of a Christian? You have any fruit? Fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Now, if we refuse to do that, if we refuse to tell people about Jesus Christ, it's kind of like a barber that refuses to cut hair. Or maybe it's a bus driver that refuses to drive a bus. You see, Jesus Christ has called us. Jesus Christ came into this world that, you know, all that heavy laden that come into me, he says, and I'll give you rest. Jesus says, come. Did you come to Jesus Christ? As all of us, did we come to Jesus Christ? Well, the same lips that says come are the same lips that says go. Come into me and then go into this world. I tell you, Jesus Christ, as we look at this application for our life, he had a commission. Jesus Christ, I have chose you and I have sent you. You and I have a commission that God has sent us out into this world. We're still in this world, but not of this world. And he sent us out back into this world. And he's left us here. You're here for an hour. You're here for a while. What for? To enjoy all God's air, to enjoy all God's blessings, enjoy all God's food. We're here for a reason. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. Commission of the Lord. He said at 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. No matter what else you do well, no matter what else that you do well, I don't care how much you give, I don't care how perfect your attendance is to church, how good you might sing a song. If you're not in business of soul winning, you're not right with God. I believe that with all my heart. No matter how good we do anything else we do, no matter how good we preach, but I can't, but whatever else we do, if we're not telling people about Jesus Christ, what? We're not right with God. The second thing that God commended him so much, his son, Jesus Christ, verse 18 again, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Oh, he gave him a great recommendation, did he not? John 8 and 29 says, and he that sent me is with me, the Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus Christ always pleased the Father. Y'all know that? Our greatest ambition should be to please God. Is your greatest ambition in life, is it to gain more wealth, or your life to gain this or gain that or do this or do that? Or is your greatest ambition is to please God? That should be all of our ambition, and our greatest ambition is to please God. That you want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you can hear that the day that we stand before Jesus Christ, all these material things won't matter, nothing anyway. Everything we're doing for the Lord. But if we just hear those words, oh, what a great day that would be. My son, who I'm well pleased. Do you want God to be well pleased with you? Do you want Jesus Christ to be well pleased with you? You think about that just a moment. Well, are you winning souls? See, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. God the Father says, I'm pleased with Jesus Christ. Now, is Jesus Christ pleased with me? Is he pleased with you? You think you could hear that from Jesus Christ as saying, I'm well pleased with that man. I'm well pleased with that lady. I'm real pleased with that person. You think, could you hear God say that to you? You think God is well pleased with you? How's your life standing? You see, God knows our life today. If we want him to be well pleased, we need to be winning souls. A church is not witnessing, not winning souls, is not pleasing to God. You think our church is pleasing to God? You think our church is pleasing to Jesus Christ? If people ain't coming to be saved at this church and we're not a witness for Jesus Christ, God is not pleased with this church. He's not pleased with this church. Or he's not pleased with a Christian, no matter who you are, if you're not doing this. This reason God left us in this world. If we're not witnessing, you know, that's a crime. It's high treason. Clenched fist, really, in the face of God. Our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ. Verse 18 again. Behold my servant whom I am well. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. My soul is well pleased. He had a companion while Jesus Christ was on this earth. Y'all know that? He had a companion. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. In verse 18. He had a companion. That was the Holy Spirit of God. You know you have a companion too. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got a companion that's with you. Lives inside of you every day. Jesus Christ had a companion. The Holy Spirit. Y'all know that? The Holy Spirit. A divine companion with Jesus Christ. All that saved have the same thing. Every one of us. Every one of us. You know, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he did not do the things he'd done in the power of his deity. He did not do the things he'd done in the power of his deity. Just like when he's on, the devil carried him up out in the wilderness and tempted him. He resisted all these temptations, not with his deity as God, but with his humanity as man. And how did he do that? With the word of God. Every time. It was not God speaking, even though he was as much God as he was man, 100% God, 100% man, but his humanity. Everything he done was in his humanity. He done it by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. It shows us that we can do the same thing. Every temptation that came to Jesus Christ comes to us, and how did Jesus Christ? He used the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus Christ showed his divine companionship with him. And everyone has the same thing. It was humanity, his power. Verse 18, I will put my spirit upon him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach, that's Jesus Christ, the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captivities, and recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He says, the Lord, the Spirit, is upon him to do this in his humanity. Verse 18, he says, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show great judgment to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, he had this anointing. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, in the form of anointing, was with Jesus Christ. Now, you see, there's difference in baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's difference in filling of the Holy Spirit. And there's difference of anointing of the Holy Spirit. Y'all did know that, didn't you? The baptism comes once upon a believer. Whenever you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. You get that one time and one time only. All of us are baptized, it says, by one Spirit. Have we all been baptized into one body? You get that one time. It never leaves you. You're only baptized one time in the Spirit of God. It never, never leaves you. And then whenever you die, the Spirit of God that lives in you, which is the Holy Spirit that we knew the other day, called the Holy Ghost, whenever you die, guess what? Your soul, the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, and your spirit is going to wing its way back to heaven from where it come from. See, it's like a carrying pigeon. The Holy Spirit come from heaven. The Holy Spirit knows how to go back to heaven, and it's going to carry your soul and spirit with you, or either your body is going to be raised, or we might be raised up to meet the Lord in the air, but you have one Holy Spirit that's with you all the time. There's nothing that you can ever do. You can't lose it. It's there forever until you get to heaven. It's never going to leave you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, one time, only one time. And you get that time you're saved, that salvation, as you come in and find out the Spirit of God dwells with you. Now, but we have the filling of the Spirit. Now, the filling of the Spirit, when we are filled, we get filled many times because we leak. Y'all know that, don't you? There's many, many feelings of our life. You know, you could be filled up right here in this hour, and the Lord just be filled up with the Spirit of God and go outside on the porch, and somebody can say something to you you don't like, and you can lose it just like that. Your feeling. See, there's several different feelings. And when we feel, that's when we yield ourselves to the Lord. We yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That means He takes total control of our life, our body, our soul, and our spirit. You give Him all they are of you. A lot of people trying to get more of God, more of Jesus Christ, more of the Spirit. You're not going to get more. You've already got all you're going to get at the time you got saved. You got all the Spirit that you're ever going to get. The secret is giving Him back what we are. Emptying ourselves out so He can fill us. You're never going to get no more. But we give Him more of us. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit. We already have all there is of Him. That is the feeling when we get that. We empty ourselves out, He can fill us, because He can't fill anything that's already full of ourselves. We get full of ourselves, we can't be full of the Spirit. But we're willing to give the Jesus Christ the Lordship of our life and give Him our all, give Him our everything. You will be filled when you empty yourself out, give Him the total surrender of your life and everything. You will be filled with the Spirit of God. How many of you are filled with the Spirit of God tonight? How many of you feel the Spirit of God tonight? This anointing now is different now. The anointing is a special touch for a special purpose. A special touch for a special purpose or a task that God has called us to do. Maybe we need to be anointed to win somebody to the Lord or to witness. Now, we don't have to do this. It's better than we are because we need to empty ourselves out. But you see, it might be something we really need to do for the Lord. And He's going to anoint us. Now, we heard two people sing some song tonight. That was good, Orville, Margot. You see, you might need anointing to sing a song. Not may need to, you need to be anointing to sing a song. That's a special task that God has called you to do. I'm up here tonight, Brother Marshall, we preach, and we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the sermon that we preach, for preparing the sermon and to preach the sermon. A special things that God calls us to do. And either preach or whatever it might be. And that special task, you know, God's got a special task and for us to do with a special touch. And that special touch is the anointing that He's called us to do. Something special that He has called us to do. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it have taught you, ye shall abide in Him." The Spirit of God is your teacher. Yes, we need Sunday school teachers. We need pastors. We need Bible study. All this helps us to understand the Word of God, understand God. But you see, the great teacher is the Holy Spirit that lives within you. That is the great teacher. And with the Word of God, that is the great teacher. So we know this anointing. He had this companion that walked with Him all the time. That was the anointing. The Holy Spirit of God with Jesus Christ while He's here on this earth. He held His composure. If you would have saw Jesus Christ as He was walking on this dusty earth and coming in contact with people today, there would be something very special about Him. I guarantee that we could recognize Him. And you know, whenever we full of the Holy Spirit of God and we're doing what God called us, you know what people say? There's something different about them. That's a Christian person there. Verse 19 says, as I read of Matthew 12:19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. What's that mean? Jesus Christ, he didn't come yelling and screaming at sinners, did he? He didn't come out in the street and have riots. Jesus Christ had his perfect composure. He'd been calm, sweet, pleasing personality, a friend of sinners. Jesus Christ came to rub sin out, not to rub it in. So how do we relate to somebody that sometime that we feel like they are lost and maybe they're just not doing what they ought to? How do you relate to them? And how do you try to witness to them? Perfect composure like Jesus Christ? Are you calm and you sweet and pleasing? Try to lead that person to the Lord? Because if you're not, it won't get done. We can't take the Bible and beat them over the head with it. And just remember, he didn't come down and say, well, you old sorry so-and-so sinner. Jesus Christ came to rub it out. That's whenever we fail. You remember whenever we fail so many times that Jesus Christ don't try to rub it in. He rubs it out and forgives us. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach with patience. Teach is what we're here for, to teach one another and to teach people about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was in a group, you knew exactly who he was. Loving, kind, and gentle, and courteous to people. God was well pleased with Jesus Christ. You and I, when you are willing, you know, to be what Jesus Christ was the Father, you see, Jesus Christ will be well pleased with us. Did y'all know that? When you and when I are willing to be what Jesus Christ was to God the Father, when you and I are be willing to do and be what we ought to be to Jesus Christ, he'll be well pleased with us. Are you though? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Oh, but I like his compassion most of all. Verse 19 and 20. Again, 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He will send forth judgment into victory. What does that mean about Jesus Christ? Look for him. A bruised reed. A bruised reed, small grass, young, tender, that's growing. A bruised reed that's growing. You ever saw grass when it says don't walk on the grass and people walks on the grass and you see how it mash it down and around the edge of the sidewalk and the grass that had been stepped on, and after a while they keep being walked on, it just die. Just die. Well, there's a lot of bruised reeds in humanity of life that we come in contact every day, and some of us may be sitting right here and some people may not be here tonight because they're so bruised. And there are a lot of lost sinners today that's so bruised. As we know, they're bruised by, you know, this world, and maybe they're bruised by drugs, alcohol, you know, just any number of things. They're bruised. A bruised reed, it says that, a bruised reed, listen at it, shall he not break it? It's so tender, it's been walked on, it's just about to die, it's bruised. So many people, it's about, you know, just about the end of their wits, but he has compassion. He says, you know what, he shall not die. He'll be very tender with that bruised reed that people steps on. A smoking flax will he not quench. What, Isaiah, are you talking about? Well, flax, you know, it is a piece of cotton, flax. And he won't quench it, he says. It's a little thread. Can imagine it's been burning on the end. Maybe it's a candle. You know that little wick of a candle that gives a bright light so much? That wick is mostly just nothing but a little string of cotton thread is all it is. And that little string of cotton thread on that candle, and you know, you can take and blow it out real easy. When you blow it out, there's a little bit of smoke comes to it and a little red, small, little red dot maybe right on the end as it begins to go out. And it'd be so easy to quench that little small dot on that candle, this little red. Wouldn't hardly worry about being burned or anything, just touch it. And that little small dot of fire will go go out. You're already blew the fire out, just that little red speck on end of that flax, that little wick, little smoke, little glow on the end of that wick. So easy to put out that glow. Well, what Jesus Christ says, a smoking flax shall not be quenched. He wouldn't even put out that little light. So many people have. People all around us have been battered and they've been bruised and they've been broken and been stepped on as grass. And their spark of their life is just about to go out. They've tried everything. All there is left to them now is just a little bit of red dot on their life. That goes out, they'll just be gone. They've been stepped on, their spark is about to go out. Maybe one harsh word from you or I, maybe one misstep that we might take, maybe an act of inconsideration to those people, maybe even it's a saved person. Maybe they're just, sometimes we want to stand up for our rights and tell them what's right and what's wrong, and you see, we put out that little light. We bruise and we step on them. I'll tell you, he said, I won't break that reed. I won't put out that spark. You know what? Us tonight, there's a lot of people, and we ought to get a copy of your church roll if we don't have it. You ought to find some people in that church roll that you can come in contact with. Every one of us ought to get a copy of the church roll. You hear me? And we're looking down that church roll and see Jesus Christ is quoting here. As we see a bruised reed and we see that smoking flax on our church roll in our community and the lives of people around us. And find out, are you compassionate enough not to bruise that reed and also not to blow out that light on that little small flax? Do I have compassion? Do I pray? Is my heart broken as it should be before God? People really don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. God have mercy upon our coldness and our cowardice of our heart. And then the confidence that our Savior had while he's here on this earth. The master soul winner. Verse 20 and 21 again, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You hear tonight, you are a Gentile, every one of us. The victory is in his ministry that you're saved tonight. Did y'all know that? Jesus Christ knew that all hell could not stop the Lord Jesus Christ. All hell should not be able to stop us until you come in the knowledge, in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know what? All hell couldn't stop when you heard the word of Jesus Christ and you claimed him for your Lord and Savior. Hell cannot stop that. Hell cannot stop us. It cannot stop you from telling people about Jesus Christ. Greater he that's in you than he that is in the world. And we need to start singing that song more, Christian soldiers. Remember what he says in those two verses of scripture I read. The name of the Gentiles, and we are Gentiles. We've been saved. But you see, there's people outside this church that's not saved. And when Jesus Christ was on this earth, and while he preached to thousands of people all around, you see, there was a lot of people that did not come to Jesus Christ and was not saved. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, on this earth, in a body, speaking the words of God, the Holy Jesus, multitude of people heard his voice. A lot of people did not come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Even Judas was with him all the time in his ministry. But where some didn't, thousands did, and hundreds did. And I'm telling you today, all around us today, look at how small percentage of people that we know of today is in church today and are saved. Small percentage, and it's getting smaller all the time. And I know that everybody is not going to accept the Lord. Everybody is not going to serve the Lord. Everybody not, but hundreds will. Tonight, You are those that come. What we need is some old-fashioned confidence of what God has called us to do. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Y'all believe that? Have y'all got confidence? Jesus had the confidence. He knew. Do you have the confidence in that? Do you remember? Galatians 2 and 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Colossians 1, 28 and 29. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I have also labored, strive according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Prayer moved by the Holy Spirit of God as we share Jesus Christ. "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you into the world." Do you want to be well-pleasing? As it said, you know, my soul is well-pleased with my Son. Do you want Jesus Christ? Is he well-pleased with you tonight? Are we just going through, you know, a ceremony? Is he well-pleased with you tonight? There's somebody that God has put on your mind while you've been sitting right here that you need to talk to, you need to witness, saved or lost. So they're not serving God. If they're lost, they're cold, they're indifferent, they're back, slitting on the Lord, they're not serving, they're not here. You know God has put somebody on your heart and your mind. Can you think of anybody? As I said, well, you ought to get our church rolled. And you ought to want to do this. And you ought to want to start praying for these people. Or are there someone that's lost? Maybe it's one of your family members. And you know what? It's just a bruised reed, smoking flax. And you know, it don't take much to step on that and to kill it. It's just about dead anyway. People's walked on it, this bruised reed. Jesus said, "I won't break it." Smoking flax, this little small spark on the end of a thread about to go out. Jesus Christ said, "I won't put it out." How about you tonight? You think Jesus Christ is well pleased with you? Do you really think Jesus Christ is one of these days that all of us will stand before Jesus Christ? We could hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Or it could be that we might suffer losses, not loss of our salvation, but the loss of rewards. You think Jesus Christ is well pleased with this church? Amen. Thank you this night in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope God put something on your heart and mind that you might lead someone to Jesus Christ as we stand this hour and be dismissed. Thank you for coming. Invite somebody to be with us again tomorrow night, Sunday, and also next Wednesday. And we thank you again in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Dwayne Griffin, you might give us a benediction, please.